Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Tea over here. Michelle just told me the most preposterous thing. That on the 21st, they're going to re-release Deadpool 2 in a PG-13.
In a PG-13 in a cut version. And I think it's for a limited time in theaters.
Preposterous.
Yeah. The only F-bombs in this one are Fred Savage. That's what they say in the trailer.
And then, what did you mean about the Princess Bride?
Yeah, because he was the kid in the Princess Bride. I guess Ryan Reynolds is telling the story like Princess Bride.
That Peter Falk was reading the book to. So they have Deadpool sitting by the bed reading it to Fred Savage.
Born June 4th in Denver, Colorado, he is an actor and comedian who has turned in scene-stealing performances in such films as She's Out of My League, How to Train Your Dragon 1 and 2, Yogi Bear, Office Christmas Party, Our Idiot Brother, Transformers Age of Extinction, Deadpool 1 and 2, Ready Player 1, and many more. And on December 28th and 29th, you can see him live on stage at the Improv. Please welcome, longtime friend of the show, TJ Miller.
Oh, hello there. What are you doing? Are you in your car? Are you sending Morse code?
I'm sending Morse code all across the land to tell people do not use maple syrup as lubrication.
I didn't even know you could.
It'll give you Canadian penis. We all know that.
Right? Nobody wants that.
I hadn't heard about that.
Don't put, as a child, remember that, what was the movie where the refrigerator opens up and they get all horny with all the food? You remember that? We were from the 80s.
I think American Pie.
Well, yeah, whatever it was. But what you don't do, because you see that, you're like, we should get some chocolate syrup, whatever. You're a young, you know, sexually active couple. It's a terrible idea. All I remember is like 3 days later, her going, yeah, we're never doing that again.
Mm-mm.
Apparently, you shouldn't shove sugary products in there.
Have I told the story about when I was like, I forget how old I was. It must have been, you know, sixth grade or something like that. A friend of mine, this kid Justin Green, said to me, he said, you know, I've had sex, which of course he absolutely had not, but everybody believed him. So he was saying that, and he told me, he said, you know, if you cut a hole in a tomato, then that feels exactly like having actual sexual intercourse. And I was like, oh, okay. So I figured, you know, what do I have to lose? But I did it right out of the refrigerator. I'll tell you, you want to let that thing cool to room temperature because, in my experience, a woman's sort of nether regions are not sort of refrigerated level cold. And they don't have speeds either. And that's an important component as well. So that was a jarring experience in my life. But it's no maple syrup.
No. I was just wondering, that's, you're lucky it didn't create the necrophiliac fetish at that moment in your life.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, I'm glad I wasn't always looking for sort of cold river.
It's such an odd world we live in. It really is, man. People, just like, you know, you're a definitely unique human being, and I like to think I've got my quirks, but I feel more and more normal as every day of news comes by and I find out what people are doing in other places. I'm like, nope, it turns out I'm a meat and potatoes normal pervert. I'm not even scratching the surface of a weirdo anymore.
Oh, yeah. All you have to do is open any sort of, pornographic browser, which I do for research for my stand-up comedy.
Sure.
So only.
Only.
And, you know, the stuff that's out there is just overwhelmingly bizarre. And, you find that you end up being a pretty, meat and potatoes guy because, as we all know, Johnny likes to have sexual intercourse on a bed of mashed potatoes.
Of course.
While eating sort of filet mignon while having, that's your quirk.
Am I not an American?
You're certainly not going to get Canadian penis that way. That's what I said.
So listen, I love you, and I haven't heard from you in a while, and I want to find out what's going on. What's going on with you? Deadpool, by the way, allow me to just smooch all of your beautiful TJ Miller ass. I thought your part was incredible. I thought the movie was fantastic, equal or greater than the first in terms of the entire movie. And your performance was even better than the first.
Well, I really appreciate that. And that was our big fear. You know, because you do a sequel to something, almost always it's not as good as the first one. On the worstest side of, you know, the worst possibility is when you get into a situation that is, you know, I don't know, the sequel kind of ruins the first one.
Right.
You're kind of going, yikes, you know, why did they even make a second
right.
thing? And I think the third, now this isn't exactly a sequel, but some people who are fans of Cloverfield kind of have the Cloverfield paradox sort of tainted what they loved, which was this Cloververse. But we were all worried about that with Deadpool, and I watched it, and I loved it. I saw it at a theater in, I was working in Utah. I saw it, you know, at a matinee in the afternoon. I was just cracking up with my buddy who went with me, and everybody in the theater loved it. And we just, you know, I think you're right. It's kind of such a different movie, but the exact same sensibility.
Right.
You're not watching it going, well, I've already seen all this before. And I'm excited about this PG-13, really.
I
think this is going to be really funny.
As long as Reynolds is doing it, because I think he nobody will ever be able to direct and write these like the way he has got it down pat. And so as long as that's his baby and it's really him doing it, I know it'll be good. It's hard to imagine how you go backwards, because I really enjoyed the indecent moments. I mean, I'm on an airplane, and I sound like I have Tourette's because I'm laughing out loud with headphones in, and I'm turning around to Sassy Von Fancy Man's like, this is really funny! You know, like, way too loud because I've lost my inner voice.
You keep going like this, you know, loudly keep going, it's because of the movie. It's a really funny movie. I am not disturbed. I'm just enjoying my peanuts and watching the movie.
It's good. It's really
good.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, as far as the PG-13 aspect of it goes, you're right. It's weird to think of going backwards, because that's what made Deadpool cool. That's what I did in the first place, is I thought to myself, there's plenty of superhero movies, and they'll continue to make them as they have, but there hasn't been an R-rated one, you know? And so that's what drew me to it in the beginning. And then now they talk about doing a PG-13 cut. Well, that's exciting for me, because there's a lot of kids that haven't seen it, and it's a really, really funny movie. And, you know, I always think it's good for kids to sort of be reminded that there are movies that you go to in the theater and they just make you crack up, and being around so many other people and laughing is such a cool experience. But it's funny, because I don't tell people about it, and people even say to me, hey, man, I love you in Deadpool. I'm like, thank you. Well, you know, they're re-releasing it as a PG-13 film on December 12th. I've had several people go, why? I'm like, well, won't that be fun to go see in the theaters? That doesn't sound good at all. And what they don't understand is, and I realize this, is I was on, you know, people ask, well, did you do reshoots? No, I didn't. Ryan Reynolds had to do reshoots because, you know, there's just a variety of reasons he had to do reshoots. But when I'm performing, and when we did Deadpool, they got a lot of takes that weren't R-rated. Because you just, you know, you have to balance it out. It can't all be R-rated.
Right.
And so a lot of what you see in the movie, you know, is one of five options that they had. So they were able to, I think, probably recut everybody's scenes just, you know, like even the part where I'm just, you know, talking about how haunting he looks, we just got so many options there that aren't, you know, R-rated language.
And you know, it's crazy to argue about R-rated language. I'm like, first of all, do you think there's a 15-year-old kid in America that hasn't heard any of these words before? Secondly, what is it going to hurt? You know, if you're going to see the Deadpool movie, anyway, there's a lot of killing going on in there. And let's all agree that it's just a movie and it's not a terrible influence. It's just entertainment. So with that in mind, how is a word like the F word or shirt seeing it, whatever, more offensive than, but you'd be okay with your kid watching killing, but you don't want him to hear the F word? I'm like, listen, it's all entertainment and none of it's serious. It's just fine.
Well, and this is an age old debate, but if you think about it, it's really funny that, and you know, I'm sure there were some expletives yelled in the bingo fiasco, and bingo probably became an actual banned word. People were being like, bingo yourself. But you say the F word, everybody knows what you're talking about. And I also think that, you know, kids that are going to see Deadpool are playing multiplayer shooter games trying to get headshots and, you know, screaming and cursing and
sure.
the most terrible, foul things to each other over the internet. And everything's available over the internet. So, yeah, it seems a little passe to be like, don't use the F word.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, in some ways, I like to think of it like, well, I'm interested to see how creative they got with reshoots. And I'm
sure.
excited to go and see the movie and be, remember the takes that they had where, you know, where I wasn't, you know, saying you look like an avocado, F another avocado. That was older
you
and
mean
uglier.
Like...
And, I think... So it will be interesting for me to watch as a fan also. And then I just think it's cool that, like, there's so many kids that didn't get to see it because their parents were like, you don't, in our household, we don't watch R-rated films.
You smell like someone.
That is my.
What's it? You smell like someone took an S in a Confederate or in a Civil War wound? Yeah. It's like,
that's pretty hardcore. I remember, that's actually Paul and Rhett's line. I remember them telling me that, and I was like, wow, that is. Really, really hardcore. And they're like, just try it. And boy, do I, yeah, it gets quoted a lot.
Yeah.
For instance, so, you know, I'm going to be here doing comedy in Kansas sort of right after Christmas.
That's what I heard coming in.
20th and 29th at the Kansas City Improv because Craig Glazer, God rest his soul,
yep.
sort of Sanford and Sons is no more. But the Improv is a great club. It's sort of a bigger club and just a different feel, and it'll feel more like the shows that I do in theater. So that's very exciting. But, you know, I'm also going to do Chanute for New Year's Eve. So that's really exciting. So if you live in the Chanute, Kansas area and you're listening, get your New Year's Eve tickets. We got two shows and it's really going to be fun. You know, I'm coming back because my uncle passed away.
I'm sorry.
You know, in this last little while, and he was my connection to Chanute. So this is sort of a goodbye show, you know, and sort of a thank you. And we're, you know, donating a lot of the proceeds to the Alcoholics Anonymous of Chanute because he was, I think, 40 plus years sober and was sort of the godfather of that institution. And so we want to kind of give back to the community there. Also, the Safari Museum there, the Alan Alda Johnson Safari Museum, we're going to give a big portion of the donation. So we're just trying to pump a bunch of money into the community.
You're a lovely person. What? Hold on, we got to back up. There's a safari museum in Chanute.
You better believe it. It turns out that this couple that were the first people to film safari expeditions and then release them in theaters come from Chanute, Kansas. And so the first ever film evidence of cannibalism was taken by this couple.
Is it in the museum? And,
you know, yeah.
I will go there. I would go to see cannibals.
It's actually really, really nice. Yeah, it's worth it. And it's also just insane to see that, you know, before we had any of these mediums of television, all this stuff, you know, you would hear about China maybe from someone or hear about African jungle tribes or something, but you would never see even a picture of them. And then here these two go out there in the middle of nowhere having to, like, bring guns to fend off wild elephants and stuff.
But, okay, so it wasn't a hunting safari. It's not a museum filled with dead giraffes.
No, not, you know, I mean, there is a dead giraffe.
Who shoots a giraffe?
A lot of them making these films. They were killing the animals that would attack them while they tried to film, you know, animals.
Yeah, I get that.
They were sort of the original National Geographic.
Gotcha, now I get it, yeah.
Films in the theaters. And it, you know, so that's pretty amazing. So that's the fun thing about Chanute. But yeah, I'm kind of doing New Year's Eve there, and then you know, Kansas City Improv right after Christmas. So once you're sick of your family, make them go to a comedy show so you don't have to listen to them or talk to them for an hour and a half, and then you can just talk about the show that night. That'll give you a night off from the family. And
of course,
it's going to be back in Kansas. I mean, we talk about the PG-13 Deadpool. I have family in Pittsburgh, Kansas, that does not watch R-rated films. So they've never seen Deadpool.
Are you the devil to them? Do they think you're the devil, TJ? Do they think you've been controlled by the devil himself?
You know what? I asked them once. I can say this because they'll never, you know, they'll never listen to your show. It is.
Of course not. I am the devil. Yeah.
But I mean, I think that they are incredibly religious. And I asked once, I said, you know, you should come see a stand-up show sometime, or
no,
you know, watch watch Deadpool or one of my movies. And she, and my aunt said, you know, look, we would prefer to remember you while you're growing up. And I, that was so offensive to me. I was just like, it's so horrible. Like, I was so upset about that. And then my parents kind of said, you know, I mean, what are you going to do? That's, it's not in line with their values, so it's just never going to make sense to them.
Yeah, that's fine. I wouldn't be offended if I were you. I'm so effed up inside. When somebody says something like that to me, I have a bizarre sense of pride.
Yeah, you love it. No, that's true. I know that you would love it.
Bob told the FCC chairman, I got to tell you this, the FCC chairman, Kevin Powell at the time, Colin Powell's son, when I read in the FCC.gov website that he considered this show to be one of the worst offenders in America, instead of being ashamed, I printed it and showed Bob, who, by the way, did not share my pride.
I love that. Well, and that's a mark of you doing something. I mean, you know, again, why I think Deadpool will be good is you guys are able to stay within the realm of, you know, decency by government standards, but still just be an absolutely atrociously offensive show. And that's what I like to think of myself as in the Emoji Movie.
Cartoon poo. So, yeah.
Cartoon poo.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We've got too much cartoon poo in that one. But I think, you know, and then I think they eventually did come to a show. But I, you know, I don't know. There's something where I was like, I'd like you to see my life's work. I mean, I've been working on this thing forever. And is there anything more godly than trying to make people happy all over the world and kind of trying to carry a message of happiness and joy to people everywhere? And that just doesn't track with them. But I think eventually they did come to a show, and kind of despite all religious efforts on their part, they still thought it was funny. Because I'm not offensive, you know. I'm not a guy who goes up and is like, yeah, I had maple syrup all over my pancakes.
I'm reporting the news, TJ. Reporting the news.
I'm getting the gluten out of her, you know what I mean? And maple syrup penis, you know. And so I think they ended up actually, you know, liking it well enough.
You are. Listen, you're a great human being. I hate the fact that, like, because I know you well enough. No, you're an incredibly sensitive person, and I, like, see, that wouldn't bother me. Like, somebody, if my family's ultra religious and they got up my ass about it, I'd be like, I don't care, man. Like, live your life, I'll live mine. And I just don't care. Like, it just does not matter to me on that level. And I hate that bothers you, because I know you're such a good human being and so sensitive, and a very sweet.
Well, yeah, I mean, I will say I am a guy who, you know, my whole deal is to try and make people happy and make people feel at ease and sort of, you know, give them a little break from how tragic life can be every single day.
Right.
And so, you know, that's my entire MO. But at the same time, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's what my friends said. They're like, you let them do their life. And, you know, my cousin is a Vestal virgin, so she's sworn her virginity to Jesus Christ.
What?
Teaches Catholic school in Pittsburgh. And
she's a nun.
You know, they really, a nun and educator, I guess. But they, you know, she just doesn't wear the getup. She didn't like the
penguin outfit. Yeah, yeah, listen, you know, I was an altar boy, right? We've talked about this, haven't we? I was stuck in a Catholic school for 3 or 4 years. Meanest sons of bitches.
It's why you're the way you are.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Antichrist.
Dude, I swear to God, DJ, this is no joke. This nurse, this is the worst reason to get beat by a nun ever, because it shows what a weird pussy I was. So we had these desks that, you know, you had to shut from the top. You'd sit, it was a one-piece desk, and then if you lifted up the lid of it, the desk part, there was a hollow underneath where you'd put your school books and your supplies and stuff, and I couldn't get my desk down because I'd checked out too many Little House on the Prairie books because I really liked them. So I'm in love with this Laura Ingalls Wilder story, but the nun sees I can't get my desk shut, and she's telling me to shut my desk, and I'm trying to shut my desk, and then she just goes completely apex on me and starts beating me with a ruler, hit me in the head, like, I mean, full bore beating my ass because I can't get this done. And this was like one out of a bunch of situations, but I remember thinking, I'm never coming back here. I was in fifth grade at that time, and at the end of the school year, I just told him, I go, there's no chance I'm ever going back. Like, it was the only time in my young life I ever looked my father in the eye and went, there's no chance I'm going back. I'm not. There's nothing you can do to make me go back.
I mean, you know, cut to talking about maple syrup sex and things.
Listen,
you know what I mean?
I go back in time to Hayes, Kansas, and I find her. I don't care if she's 95. I'll kick that bitch down a flight of stairs.
I mean, if you think about it, how horrible is it that she's professing to do the Lord's work and is just beating the hell out of kids? Like, that doesn't quite track. I don't think that was in Jesus' message.
Well,
you know, if a kid checked out too many Little House in the Prairie, which you were clearly masturbating to, you know, you really, you know, beat him with a ruler. That doesn't quite make sense.
Oh, man.
But I mean, I get that. I was lucky never to have that. Growing up, I grew up atheist, you know, in my family, and that was fine for me. It kind of allowed me to sort of dabble with different belief systems, and then eventually be pretty comfortable as a nihilist and focus on this life.
Just being a nice person.
Promise afterlife.
You mean yeah, you don't have to have a special invisible buddy? You can just be a good human being and take care of people and make people happy and don't hurt others. You mean that's possible?
It's possible, and it can be done in Kansas. December 28th and 29th in Chanute, Kansas on New Year's Eve.
You know what? We live in a pretty free world, and I'm not afraid to say that if things don't work out for you, I'll marry you.
I want to say to you that Kate will really both appreciate your kindness and now feel some sort of strange rivalry with you as a radio host and a human being. But, yeah, I tell you, I would love to have a platonic marriage with you.
Yes.
Where a lot of our time spent is sort of drunkenly walking around fields outside of NASCAR tracks. I'm up for that.
Well, man, I can't wait to see you. I love you. It's you're coming to the Improv, guys, December. You're going to be here on December. What's the actual date for sure? December 28th and 29th.
Yep.
And then down to Chanute.
Yeah, Chanute, Kansas, New Year's Eve, two shows. That's going to be a blast. I mean, we're really going to blow it out. And my sister is opening for me the 28th and 29th at the Kansas City Improv, and she's amazing. So get your tickets for sort of a Kansas family affair, and it's going to be fantastic. I mean, I always love going to Kansas. I hope maybe if you guys have room for me, I'll stop by the show. If you guys are doing your thing right after Christmas. And, yeah, I love you guys all. And I know not to trust the bingo system in Kansas.
You know what? I changed this.
I'm going to warm up this maple syrup.
Oh, you do that. The great T.J. Miller. I love you, man. Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.